Hi, I'm Daryl Felsberg.
I'm Brandon Davidson. We're both professional comics, and we travel the country telling jokes.
We don't always get along or even see eye to eye on things, but we've got two things in common.
We're funny, and we love barbecue.
Damn right. Each episode, we meet up with a comedy friend or a celebrity in some of the best barbecue dives in the world, and we record it live.
Food and funny? It doesn't get any better than that.
This is Comedy Barbecue.
Hey guys, this is Brandon. I got a really cool episode of Comedy Barbecue Podcast this week. It's a weird one, but it's weird in a good way. Okay, so we've got comedian Shane Moss. Shane was in town. He was at Hyena's Comedy Nightclub in Dallas, Texas, and Daryl and I bumped into him, and we took him out to Lockhart Smokehouse down in the Bishop Arts District. Had a great time with him. You know, Shane, he's appeared on Conan, Kimmel, Showtime. He's had specials on Comedy Central and Netflix, and he interviews scientists on his podcast called Here We Are. It's a great podcast. You should check it out. Now he's touring the country on a 100-city tour with Comedy Show. The Comedy Show is all about psychedelics. So it's part stand-up, part storytelling, it's part TED Talk, and you know, it's probably one of the most unique, informative, and funny comedy shows that I've seen. Got to catch it in Lafayette, and it was great. Sold-out room. And he just destroyed. This show, you probably heard about it if you listen to other comedy podcasts like WTF with Mark Maron, Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird, The Duncan Trussell Family Hour, Joe Rogan Experience, Burtcast, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, The Cracked Podcast, Put Your Hands Together, Doug Loathe Movies, and just a ton more. So obviously we were really excited to be able to sit down with Shane and just sort of get into it. We got weird, talked about singularity, talked about barbecue, talked about sausage casings. Anyway, whatever. Here it is. Let's do it.
Welcome to Comedy Barbecue. I am Daryl, and that's...
Hey, I'm Brandon.
Brandon, where are we at today?
We're at Lockhart Smokehouse down in Bishop Arts District.
Can't find a parking place.
No, you can't park at all.
This place is awesome.
It really is.
Pretty neat.
So Texas Monthly, they have a top 50 barbecue places in Texas. This location has a 4.75.
What? Out of what, five?
Out of five. Out of 20.
But Daniel Vaughn gave it a 4.75.
But so it's the top 50. So where is this on the top 50?
So he doesn't actually rank them in the top 50. He says, here's the 50 best, and then he kind of scores them. If you look at it, I think there's only a couple that got fives. But this is a 4.75.
Here's the 50 best, and I'll score them, but I will not rank them.
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not in order. You'll have to crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
If you know how numbers work, you'll be able to figure it out.
I'm not going to do your homework.
But I'm not. It'd be mean to just put them into numbers. So, you know, we all know.
We know.
But, well, this place is, this is... Interesting. This is different than any barbecue place I've been to. And I lived in Texas for a couple of years.
Okay.
But this is like...
Where'd you live when you were in Texas?
Austin. But, I mean, okay. I was dating a girl from Dallas. Well,
yeah.
I mean, who was originally from Dallas.
Okay.
And so, and her family was still here. And,
Daryl, can I get a fork?
So I frequented Dallas, for sure.
How about a spoon? We're short of fork.
I'll grab one.
Here, grab one real quick. All right, Brandon's going to get a fork. Meanwhile, our guest, we didn't even introduce him, is Shane Moss. We went right into the Jesus coughing bit. And so
Jesus coughing
down on
church today.
So I didn't know you lived in Austin, but you were chasing a girl.
Oh, no, that was not. That was more like a... trying to repair a relationship. I was dating this girl we met in Boston. She was from Texas originally. And by the way, right? I want to know how much of our chewing these microphones pick up.
Okay, right. Okay, we've got new lab mics for the podcast, and to cut out some of the ambient noise, we are getting Brandon cutting sausage very well on the pepper.
Ooh, all right.
Very crisp.
Oh.
If you rewind us 10 seconds back, you're hearing some crisp cutting.
Well, my technique is impeccable.
You're clear. I don't know if it's...
That's going to be a lot of the reviews of the podcast. They're like, really crisp cutting. You can hear the cutting.
I heard go right through that sausage casing.
You can tell those plastic
nuts. It's the only podcast where you can hear, like, the really crisp... You can hear cutting on other podcasts, but it's not as crisp as ours.
No, it's not. Well... A lot of people forget that people, that's why they tune in to barbecue podcasts.
These labs should be good because I had an old podcast. It was called the Double Day Podcast. It was me and a different ex of mine. And we had a different couple on when we were still together. We had a different couple on each week, and they were like, it was like in a studio with like studio quality.
Yeah.
You know, some of those mics pick up too much shit.
Right.
And so originally,
that's a good.
I forgot to cough upward.
No, yeah, but you coughed. So you coughed to the right.
I coughed to the right and away.
We got it. It was good.
And so we would bring in food, like treat it like it was a double date, you know, and bring in food and reviewers were like, because these mics pick up every single bit of, and this isn't like. You know, this isn't a quiet studio. Like, right. Here you have ambient noise and everything else. This is it. All you're hearing is any little sound that we're making.
That paper tear? Unbelievable.
Wow. Okay.
I'm telling you.
This is the cutest podcast.
The most fun we've had. Content. We should change it to technology podcast, is what it should be. Yeah, we're doing microphones.
Like, you get lab mics, and it's like, ooh, I just heard something.
Ooh, everything.
Oh, a noise. Now you're just appreciating.
We've grown so much.
I've never appreciated paper being torn before like that. But people would write us and be like, you cannot eat on your podcast. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But with these labs.
Oh, because you're hearing the chewing and everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
but with these labs, it's a different thing. And plus, if the whole point of it is that you're like,
yeah, we're eating barbecue.
Bunch of guys gorging yourself with barbecue.
Sure.
That's right.
And rightfully so. All right, so you and I, we were in Tampa last weekend.
Yeah.
Doing a benefit for Relay for Life. We got another one of those coming up. And then we've got a bunch of other dates. We've got, we need to talk about those when we have a break, so make sure we incorporate those and get Shane stuff. We always talk about topics. By the way, anything new happening in life? I haven't seen you in 4 days, so.
No, I mean, just normal week for me. You guys talked a bit about the spread while I got up, right? Or just introduced Shane?
Coffee.
Oh, just coffee. All right.
He's done talking about my girlfriend, but we got lost.
So this is a pretty traditional, like, meat market style barbecue place, like what you would find down in Central Texas.
This is traditional?
Yes, on paper.
Traditional, like, Central Texas.
I've never had barbecue on paper before. Mm-hmm.
Most Texas barbecue joints were meat markets, German and Czech meat markets. So they would smoke the meat and then wrap it in butcher paper, and like farmhands and sharecroppers would sit out back and eat them off the paper.
Yeah,
so that's where the
truck
comes from. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got sliced turkey, smoked turkey, right?
Right.
Right, okay. What else we have? We have brisket, which is really good so far.
Yeah, I got some of the wet, you know, sliced brisket, some of the sausage, which is from Cruz Market.
So they go down to Cruz and buy it?
That's where the sausage is from, I know that much. And then I got a couple of pork ribs here. But yeah, this is good stuff. And then, you know, they throw the bread right on there. Shane is unwrapping a singular block of cheddar cheese right now.
I've never seen this before in my life. It was like on the menu.
Yeah.
It just said cheddar cheese, small and large.
Are you from Wisconsin? Am I remembering that right? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of cheese. The cliches are correct. Well, we have cheese curds.
Ooh.
You guys don't have cheese curds here.
No,
have you ever heard of cheese curds?
I've heard of cheese curds. I've never had one. What is it?
So, it's a little odd. They're delicious, but one, poor marketing. Cheese curd just sounds disgusting.
Well, those are the people who were displaced in the Desert Storm due to the bombing.
Yeah, the cheese curds.
Oh.
Fighting for their independence.
Mm-hmm.
So... during the cheese making process, apparently, from what I understand of it. And I'm from Wisconsin, which makes me a bit of an authority. There's some layer that rises to the top that usually just gets like mixed back in. I have no idea.
No, it's all yours.
And they just skim that off?
And instead they skim off this top layer, and then I don't know what the chemical composition of it is or whatever.
I don't think it's disgusting.
But it just
it's like fermented cheese, right?
It just curds up. I don't know how else to say it. It looks like these pop, like big globs, like say about the size of a golf ball, but if it's just like mashed with a hammer a little bit, and like it's all like lopsided, and they're, when they're really fresh, they're really like squeaky, like they squeak in your mouth.
What?
It's just a little bit of a, it's a, definitely a different flavor. You can like sit and eat like a bag of them.
So you said they're squeaky. I'd like to know how they sound on these lavender mics.
We're going to get some cheese curds on this podcast.
See how squeaky they are.
Eat them right next to this mic.
Anywhere but in the Midwest.
So how does it relate to,
is it like a fermented process,
have I seen it? Have I ever seen it with poutine? Do people put cheese curds? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
That's a Canadian.
If you have poutine,
that's like fries with like a brown gravy.
Yep.
If you've had poutine, you've probably had cheese curds.
Okay.
I have.
All right. Usually, so if you get them at the grocery store, they're usually cold.
Right.
If you get them at a restaurant, they're usually fried.
So Brett Noteware, friend of the podcast, he had a New Year's Eve party, had a couple of guys from Canada who were there. They whipped up some poutine, and there were cheese curds involved, but I didn't know that until after I'd had it, so yeah.
Poutine just sounds like a dirty slang.
Yeah, it sounds like if you're a kid to the 90s,
maybe
like
you're in the locker room,
poutine.
But I could sit here and eat like a bag of cheese curds, and that would seem weird to me. But right now, just looking at, I just have
cheese.
A block of cheese in front of me, and I'm just like taking like an edge off of it. And picking up, it's just literally a block of cheese.
That's all it is it?
It's small and large, and there's only one size, so I guess the large is just like...
I guess they cut it in half, I don't know, maybe.
I think they just give
two. Maybe, yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's weird.
Well, a lot of times they'll smoke it. They'll take a block of cheese, and then they put it on the smoker, and they'll smoke it. It's delicious, so you get it all the time. All right, Brandon, so let's...
Like in the restaurant?
You'll smoke it in the barbecue smoker and then sell it. And
really?
It's really, really good.
Ah, that sounds good.
Same thing with like Swiss cheese. If you smoke it, it's fantastic.
Smoke Gouda?
Smoke Gouda?
Yeah.
You know what? You name the cheese and these kids are smoking.
I believe that.
These crazy kids
smoking their cheese.
Gotta watch them. All right, so...
First topic of the day. What's the first album that you remember buying, whether it was a cassette or a compact disc or actually on vinyl? What's the first album you remember buying? Bonus points if you actually bought it with your own money.
I remember the album first. I remember specifically buying going to the record bar in Corpus Christi, Texas at the Sunrise Mall and buying a European import vinyl single of Daryl Hall and John Oates, I Can't Go For That. It was $5.49, and how do I know that? I still have it.
Ooh.
I kept the first album I ever bought with my own money when I was 8 years old or 9 years old. Failed, and I picked it solely based on the fact that the guy's name was Daryl.
So is this just a little 7-inch? Oh, nice.
Full.
So full size, wow.
How old are you?
42.
Yeah.
I know exactly what my first CD was.
Tell me.
I don't quite remember my first tape. I feel like my uncle gave me a bunch of old tapes. I can't quite remember.
Is this a Columbia House deal, or what were you?
No. I got my... So I know this one for a fact. My first CD player was... I got for Christmas, and I wanted Weird Al. That was like the first CD that I wanted.
Uh-huh.
My mom got me a CD called Wacky Weirdos. That was just like a bunch of Halloween music, like Purple People Eater.
Monster Mash.
Yeah, Monster Mash, that sort of thing. And my first album, I feel like, would have been Guns N' Roses.
Appetite?
Because it might have been Use Your Illusion, which was not that great.
Yeah.
But it might have been just because it was, like, new at the time that I was getting it, and I'd heard Guns N' Roses, and I was heard I was, like, supposed to like them, and then they, like, they swore sometimes, too, and I was, like, you know, like, 8 years old or 9 years old or whatever, so that
felt
was
really
just,
subversive.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Thing ever.
Mine was Kiss.
First album that you bought.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna go back through that route because I didn't think about that because you know cassettes hit different stages of life.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So think about. All right, so that was the first vinyl you had that you bought with your own money. Okay, what was the first cassette?
First cassette was Ray Stevens. Who's like some like southern comedian who would do like music and he would write songs. I bought it from a gas station. My granddad took me to the gas station. I bought it at the counter.
Those are the best.
It had The Streak, Mississippi Squirrel Revival, and The Pirates of Penzance on it. And it's just like, you know, Ray Stevens just doing stuff. And I would lay in the back bedroom in my grandma's trailer. Just
so hot.
Hands behind my head.
On
just
a waterbed.
Yeah. Just listening to Ray Stevens. That was my first cassette. First album, I bought vinyl. It was like a store that my family would go to. I don't think it was a grocery store, but it may not have been. But they had solo albums of each of the Kiss band members. So like Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley all had individual solo albums with just their face on it. And it was like a black album. And I got each of those, like they would do a different one each week or month or something. I grabbed all those, and then I got the, at a flea market, I convinced my mom to let me buy, for just a few dollars, a Japanese import of Hotter Than Hell, which had just the most graphic nudity, like, on the back of it. But my mom had no idea. So I was super into Kiss. She had no idea what I was listening to, but she didn't mind.
Cassette, man. I know the first couple cassettes I own, but I'm trying to think of the first one I ever bought. And I think you and I talked about this once before. If you bought them, you went to a store that had cassettes. They were behind a plexiglass thing with a hole about that big that you could stick your hand in and look, but you couldn't take it out. You know? And I'm 100% certain.
They're
all. It was either Iron Maiden.
That was a glory hole. You were.
An acrylic glory hole.
Yeah.
It was either Iron Maiden Killers. I would be surprised if it wasn't Def Leppard or something. So I've had all those as cassettes. Even the Eurythmics, unfortunately.
That's a good album.
Okay, then dropped forward to CDs, 1990, and it was Garth Brooks and shit like that.
Right on.
No, it wasn't right on. It was a very terrible time in life. When you had boots and jeans and shit.
Spurs and a latigo.
Something to that effect, anyway. Yeah.
What are you listening to now?
You know what? I'm hung up on Tom Petty, still big time. That XM Tom Petty channel, I would wear it the fuck out. The Cure, still. Any of that 90s
new wave stuff.
Yeah, just kind of reconnecting.
What about you? What do you listen to?
New stuff or just in general? I mean, I actually, so I like classic rock and like Pink Floyd's probably my favorite band. Nirvana was my first like love when I was like, oh, this is what music's about. But I don't listen to any of that stuff much anymore. I'm always kind of chasing new things. Right now I've been obsessively listening to Aesop Rock's new album.
Oh my gosh, Impossible Kid?
Yeah, have you heard it? It's genius.
Blood Sandwich, that track alone is the whole album. It's so good.
It's Aesop Rock is the kind of artist that you need to listen to his songs about 30 or 40 times before you're like, oh,
it's
that's
so layered.
What he means.
Yeah.
he speaks exceptionally metaphorically, and he has an insane vocabulary.
They actually had like
I saw that.
But like I guess linguistics researchers went in and said of all the rap artists, he had the most expansive vocabulary.
They made a graph of like basically who uses the most words essentially, and it was like. I forget who was toward like the dumb end of it. It's like music that I was
B.O.B.
Yeah. But and like Eminem was toward like the far like high end of, like, and so it was like, you know, like 1,000 rappers in this. If you're looking at this thing and like this blob stretched out in this blob, and you know, it's like Eminem's kind of like at the extreme end of this, and then like about 5 light years past that is Aesop Rock, and it's just Aesop Rock, him by himself. No one else is in the same, like nowhere near. And his stuff is, I mean, I was just reading some lyrics to my girlfriend the other day, and there was just so much. I was like, oh, this must be like some Greek god or something. It's all stuff that I have no idea. I know it makes sense because anytime you actually look up his lyrics and look, it's like, oh my god, like what he's saying is incredible.
Very dense stuff.
Very dense, very deep. Probably the smartest stuff I've ever listened to, really. But then on like kind of the opposite but complementary end of that is Atmosphere. Is another rapper who. There's no metaphors. Like he's from Minneapolis. He just. It's very easy to understand what he's saying, but he just puts things in like a very real way. It's not a bunch of like getting hoes and like getting.
Right.
Gold rims on your car and all that. It's like, it's not about like drinking Cavassier. It's about like waking up hungover and taking a few drinks off your flask and having to like go to your waiter job at fucking Denny's. It's like some real,
dirty.
Real like Midwest shit. Like it really speaks to.
But don't ever lose sight of gold wheels
or Cavassier.
Cavassier, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You just keep it within reach,
friend. That's aspirational.
Yeah.
No, coughing upwards is aspirational. next time, what do we got?
Yeah, so.
Also, of Montreal, it's not just rap. I just want to throw it out,
there.
You're well rounded.
You listen to it all. Mannheim Steamroller when you're nobody's looking.
And then there's.
You listen to Sturgill Simpson at all?
A little bit here and there. Okay. I really like his lyrics. I just can't.
Get into it. Yeah.
God damn it. Postmodern Jukebox just does these fun covers. Really shitty pop songs.
You know,
but her coverage of them are pretty interesting.
We spent a week together in Tulsa. And that's right, it was nonstop Postmodern Jukebox. There's another.
Was she doing like Black Hole Sun?
So they'll do some good songs like Hey Ya and stuff like that, or like Welcome to the Jungle. But then they do like Oops, I Did It Again by like Britney Spears or whatever. But they'll like make it this beautiful like vintage 50s song.
Very melodic.
So anyway, now we can move on. I just wanted to throw a few more. The more people that know about the things that I like, the more I'll get to
enjoy
see
those.
The things that I like.
Yeah, they'll create more stuff. Popular.
There's a buddy of mine who's a very popular musician. He actually lives in the Metroplex, and he is in a band now called the Hip Van Winkles. It's like a postmodern jukebox. Same type of thing, big band.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're here in town. He just started with them. He's done a lot of Latin jazz for years.
Wow.
Hip Van Winkles.
Yeah, Hip Van Winkles. All right, what do you got now, buddy?
Next topic. Okay, so I feel like this may be apocryphal, but I've heard this story about you.
Might be what?
Like outside of canon. Like I've heard this story about you before, but I want to hear it from you and see if it is the same as the story in my mind. You've done the Valley Run, like in Texas, where you've performed in all the Valley Rooms. I see you smiling.
Yeah.
It's the Mario Saddles I run. I've done it too. Yeah.
Oh, so you, oh, you guys have, okay,
I've done it twice.
Okay, I've never done, I haven't done this run. But I mean, I think people outside of Texas forget how unbelievably large Texas is, that El Paso is actually closer to LA than El Paso is to where we are right now, right? And then you go all the way down to the tip, down to McAllen, right? And it's even, it can be even more different, right?
Yeah.
So, so yeah, you smile. So, just what was your experience like when you did those rooms and do you think you know the story I'm thinking of?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that story takes, like, 2 hours to tell. I mean, it was fucking crazy. It's a different world down there. And it's just, like, lots of, like, prideful ignorance. Lots of, cartel shit happening down there.
Yeah.
Lots of drugs. And then, like, Texas just has, like, such a great economy because they have so many resources. So there's still, like, a decent amount of money down there. So you can still, like, make a living, like, make an honest living and everything. So, but without even having to, like, get an education or anything. And it's the strangest fucking place that I've ever went to. I mean, it was like the whole city was like Roadhouse. You know, it was.
It's a good way to explain it. Yeah.
It was like the first place that I went to was literally called like Paradise Roadhouse.
Paradise Roadhouse. Yeah.
And there's like, you walk in, and there's like a merch table by the door.
Brass knuckles in it.
With like brass knuckles and knives and stuff.
Zippo lighters.
In case you need them during the show?
Yes.
Okay.
But classically left behind a glass case.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you can peruse that. But what it got me about that room is it's I mean, you get, when you walk in, it's a biker environment. And then you go to the restroom, and there's it's a very well appointed restroom. And when you're done, there's a gentleman there to hand you a cloth and some cologne and a mint. And then you can go back out and knife fight somebody over some angel dust in the parking lot.
Yeah, because your eight ball is a little light.
all for a couple $100 and some a good time, you know?
Crazy. Like, the whole city's just like that. Mario manslaughtered somebody.
That's right, yep.
And was on probation. And, like, couldn't get his shit together enough to, like, keep his nose clean, you know? It's just, like, one of the biggest fuck-ups I'd ever met. And, like, a really nice guy. And really meant well. And I'm happy when someone, like, cares about comedy. But it's just... That scene is so fucking bonkers. There's this, there was one guy down there that was really funny. What's his name?
Raymond Orca?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really funny dude. And, outside of that, man, if I look back on it, I'm like, what the fuck was that? It just, it'd take me 3 hours to tell the fucking
story. It's all
I told the story on Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird, and it was like, I did an abbreviated version of it, and it was like an hour and a half.
Originally you did the Nelson A. Ray 2 times that week. And then you did Roadhouse once, and then some other place in McAllen. It was a 4-night deal. And when we did the theater, when we were done, one of the other comics, Jacob James Garcia, says, "Hey man, let's go party. Let's go to the club." Okay. We went to the clubs, man, and there were shiny shirts and pointy boots everywhere, and they were all
you know, not, what's the word, what's the Spanish word for dealer? For, it's a, I'm going to say.
Spanish word for what?
For a drug dealer.
Oh.
Oh, I'm very white.
No, or something that effect.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, it was money was draped everywhere, and you were terrified the entire time. You know, you were out of place. But I had a good time, and they all adore you. It was nice, you know? They were all very nice.
Oh, they're all very nice. It's funny, that theater, like, you go there and do stand-up, and there's, like, 60 people there or something like that. You go back the following night, it'll be, like, amateur wrestling. When I say amateur wrestling, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking bartender has a fucking costume and gets out in there. Then the bouncer, like, they like, take turns.
Yeah.
So, like, one
you
of them
watch
can
the
watch
bar.
The bar.
I'm gonna tag
one
him.
Of them can watch the door and shit, and they fuck. I'm not, like, that's not an exaggeration. That's exactly what was happening. Like, just everyone in the they had a very strong, like, open mic wrestling scene. Like, exceptionally strong.
And
it was packed out all the time. Like, fucking crazy. I don't know why they even booked comedy there.
Right.
Comedy there, like, 60 people show up. You throw wrestling in there, and, like, 800 people show up.
That's so wild.
Open mic wrestling. It's crazy. It's not like, hey, this guy's on tour doing, like, some amateur wrestling stuff. No, no. This is like...
This guy was your UPS driver today.
This is...
Yeah.
This is probably... If you're at the show, you probably also wrestle in it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether you know it or not. Yeah.
Either you wrestle in it sometimes, or you're thinking about doing it.
They did a Rocky Horror Picture Show after my show. So it was full. We had 80 or 90 people in there. And as soon as it was done, you're outside, you can't move. The foyer's full. There's a line around the corner trying to sell merch. And they're emptying the theater with 100 people. And you got 100 people coming in for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And they're all dolled up.
And they're going to do like a Master Pancake style where people are like acting stuff out. And it's big screen.
I guess. I don't know. What I wasn't going to stick around for that. I had no interest in Valley, Northern Mexico, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Is that but Mario Salazar actually has really come around, cleaned his life up. You know, he was a challenge. But here lately, I've seen where he's working well, and he's kind of got his attitude in check. He's a good friend.
Good.
You know?
That's
he wrote me after, because I talked about him on the You Made It Weird, and then everyone, like, I didn't say his name or anything, but everyone...
People's... People sort
upward.
Of figured it out.
Speaking upward. Let the Holy Spirit out.
Yeah.
No. Let it free.
That's actually the origins of saying God bless you, was they thought it was like a curse that you were sneezing out. That's true. He wrote me after he heard it. He was like, told me how he was like really embarrassed and upset, but then he like thought about it and like
that's good.
He
and I have had that before too, where he didn't like the way I said something. Here was the deal: for the longest time, that this is back a few years ago, there was a challenge with that run, man, and it wasn't always good. And I'm honest about it, you know, and he didn't like it. But we ironed it out, Seth. I swear to God, every time you wipe, but you wipe paper on your stupid beard.
Do you feel it? You can hear it? Is this in surround sound?
Yeah. Give her some nipples when you do it.
All right.
It's not a problem. But I'm glad you're keeping it clean.
Well, I have to.
No kidding. I know. I miss mine. But mine always, I normally have a big beard, but it always smells like shit. I just scrub it and wax it daily, but I couldn't eat ice cream. I like ice cream.
Yeah, I just trimmed mine down. It was about here. And this is an audio medium. Yeah. You guys can't tell where my hand is. But it was probably about, I don't know, four and a half inches long, the beard normally. And that was keeping it kind of maintained, but now it's shorter than a half inch.
Yeah.
So
I went down to the skin once, and then I let it go. to grow back out. I'll do it again. But it gets, after a while, you can't, I like ice cream cones, god damn it. And I don't need a bunch of sour milk in my stash.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fair statement. So.
Can we take a commercial break so I get another
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Here?
So, we'll see you guys after the break.
All right, guys, be sure to check out Shane Moss while he's on tour. It's called A Good Trip with Shane Moss. Again, that's a 100-plus city psychedelic comedy tour. Tuesday, March 28th, he'll be in L.A. at Largo at the Coronet with Pete Holmes. Saturday, April 1st and 2nd, he'll be in Nashville at Third Coast Comedy Club. Thursday, April 13th, he'll be in Tulsa at the Chimera Cafe. And then Wednesday, April 26th, he'll be in Seattle at Laughs Comedy Club. If you're looking for Daryl Felsberg out and about, you can catch him March 24th and 25th. That's this weekend at the Looney Bin Comedy Club in Oklahoma City. April 1st, he'll be at the Paris, Texas Wine Fest. April 5th, End of the Mountain Gods in New Mexico at Mescalero. April 6th, Santa Ana Casino in Albuquerque. And April 7th and 8th, Last Comedy Club in Tucson, Arizona. April 19th through the 22nd, Looney Bin Comedy Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then rounding out the month of April, you can catch Daryl at LMAO Comedy in Paris, Texas, with the never not funny host, Jimmy Pardo. It's going to be a killer show. Also on that show is partner of the podcast, Tyler Elliott. If you're looking for me out there in comedy world, and why wouldn't you be, you can catch me. Well, this weekend I'll be in Rogers, Arkansas at the Grove Comedy Club with Eric Schwartz. April 4th, I'll be at End of the Mountain Gods with Daryl and Mescalero. April 6th, Santa Ana Casino in Albuquerque with Daryl. The 7th and 8th of April at Last Comedy Club in Tucson. It's one of my favorite rooms to play. I can't wait to get back out there. One of my home clubs, Hyenas Comedy Nightclubs, I'm excited to be there. April 13th, 14th, and 15th in Plano, Texas. You can go to hyenascomedynightclub.com. And then I'll be at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And then rounding out the month of April for me, I'll be at Hyenas Comedy Nightclub at Mockingbird Station in Dallas, Texas. That's April 27th, 28th, and 29th. So a lot of great shows. You can come out and catch me, Daryl, Shane, or I don't know, man. You could probably stream Dave Chappelle's specials on Netflix. Let's get back to the show.
And we're back from
a little Moscow Mule break.
A little mule there.
I almost got. Have you seen their Bloody Marys here?
It's got a rib on top of it.
Oh. It has. Did you see it?
No, I had not. It has a rib on top of it.
Yeah.
It has take a rib and like one piece of rib, cut it in three, and then add like a quarter of a sausage is what it has on top of this fucking Bloody Mary.
It's a way to start today.
Yeah, meat based.
If I would have known that, I would have just gotten that. That would have, honestly, that would have been
fine. Yeah.
One of those would have been a full meal.
Would have been a full meal. All right, we're back at Lockhart Smokehouse.
Yeah.
Parts. Going through the topics, we got one or two more, and we're done. What do we got?
We do. So this is Shane's choice.
Oh.
So we can go with a shallow topic or a deep topic.
Ooh.
Your choice. You can either talk about what you think the funniest movie you've ever seen was, or whether or not we're living inside of a simulation.
Jesus. Go simulation. I always go deep.
All right. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you subscribe to that kind of that old philosophy question? Are we just sort of brains in a vat? Or,
Well, there's... there's a lot of ways to look at it. Here are the ways that I look at it,
okay.
Which are limiting in and of themselves, and like this is like maybe I've been simulated to run these simulations about how simulation theory works in this limited manner. But so it doesn't seem unreasonable to me to presume that there is like some sort of super intelligence running some computer program that we're part of. I mean, if you look at, we have The Sims. We literally have a video game called The Sims, and if you look at, and they're also like modeling evolution in computer programs. They're running this. They're using it to kind of help figure out how diseases spread, how to cure cancer, how cancer cells grow, and how to control them, and how game theory works, and
weather
how
patterns.
Interactions between people work. That we are growing, and they're so primitive right now. Our computers are so primitive. We're fucking monkeys that just started building these things, and I mean, we're really not that. I mean, computers are doubling in speed. The singularity idea, I think there's several problems with it. Which is that if computers keep on, so computers don't just, you don't go, this year you have 100 gigs of processing power for,
but it doubles roughly every 6 months,
and then next year you have 200, and then next year you have 300. That's not how, it's not a linear track. It actually doubles in time of itself. It's exponential growth. So that means that you have 100 one year, 200 the next year, then 400 the next year, then 1600 the year after that. And this is moving like kind of wildly, seemingly out of our hands, but I think there's a lot of limitations with it eventually, with quantum mechanics that I don't completely understand, but like maybe once we have quantum computing. But anyhow, it's just the idea of certainly something else could, it's possible that computers could be much, much more powerful
right.
than the stupid monkey ones that we've built. And so I don't think it's impossible that we're living in a simulation. The problem that I have with it is two things. One is more philosophical, which is, but actually, I have three problems with it. One is, well, who really gives a fuck?
Right.
Like, what are you gonna do about it anyway? Two is, so say you were able to figure out that something was simulating this existence. Well, what's to say that something's not simulating the thing that you're simulating?
Right.
And then what's to say if something's not simulating the thing that's simulating it? And then it's just turtles all the way down, which I don't know if you're familiar with the expression, but anyway, it's just like it's
like a
fractal-like. It's a redundant recursive, and it seems as if things have a start and a beginning. But the main thing is the stuff that I'm into is about how we come up with the ideas that we come up with. And I smoke a lot of DMT, which is the world's most powerful hallucinogen. And
if I'm thinking of it right, is ayahuasca like a derivative of DMT?
DMT is the active ingredient in ayahuasca. Okay. Ayahuasca is like DMT watered down.
Okay.
Ayahuasca is a island off of Guam that a lot of people visit in the summertime. Keep going.
In my way of thinking, I think I'm seeing these inner worlds. A lot of people think they're talking to aliens or different dimensions or something like that, but I think it's the inner workings of our mind, and I think the inner workings of our mind run simulations all the time. I think my mind has to run simulations to figure out, whether or not I want to agree to do a podcast, whether what words are coming out of my mouth right now. I think there's a lot of different options in where I could go with what I'm saying right now and the words that I select to use. And I think that there are simulations. I think there's also this emergent effect where words are just kind of springing into my consciousness. But there's also, like, if you break your feet or something like that, which I have, you think, like, okay, how do I get down from this hill? Do I call a helicopter? What's the rest of my life going to be like? Am I going to be in a wheelchair? Am I ever going to walk again? Blah, blah, blah. and your brain runs all these simulations, and I think that because of that, some of these like deep thinkers, like say Elon Musk, who talks a lot about simulation theory, or not a lot, but has talked about it.
And sort of thinks that it's not an unreasonable possibility, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He actually thinks it's unreasonable to think that
then
we
were not.
Aren't in a simulation. Well, the thing is he's an exceptionally intelligent person who does lots of very deep thinking and is also highly influenced by sci-fi. And I think that if you gain access to these deeper regions of the brain, which I do artificially through taking drugs, but you can gain limited and very faint access to these deeper regions just through meditation and just through like really deep contemplative thought. And I think in those regions, it does look like simulations, because it looks like simulations instead of, no one ever thinks it's the inner workings of their brain. Like when someone hallucinates something on psychedelics,
right,
they think like, oh, there was a, I saw Mickey Mouse. No, you didn't see Mickey Mouse. The perception of Mickey Mouse was artificially stimulated in your brain and projected into what you perceive to be reality. And I think that is a lot of where simulation theory comes from, is in these deep recesses of the brain. It looks like that, and so they project it outwards, and they're like, we're in a simulation. No. Your inner world is running simulations. Same with reincarnation. There's all these thought loops inside of our brains. There's all these redundancies for, say, you don't have to think about breathing. You don't have to think about walking. You know, walking takes a little more thought. Watch for cracks, blah blah blah. But these are pretty habitual sort of things, and so you just right. kind of have these kind of recursive things, that these loops, these thought loops.
Almost programming.
That's what panic attacks are, is the inability of breaking these thought loops that build on one another. And so I think that when you get deep enough in there, it looks like this, and then you're like, well, what if this just keeps on happening again and again, and you project it onto this exterior reality, and you're just mistaking your inner world for what's happening on the outside, is my opinion.
No, that's fascinating, and I think it's interesting that you brought up the idea of like panic attacks and anxiety. I read somewhere that like you originally wanted to start stand-up when you were a teenager, but it was some anxiety that...
That's on Wikipedia, I believe. That's blown out of proportion. Someone else wrote the Wikipedia for me.
Hey, Brandon, you show off your research skills.
All that was a collection of newspaper stories that
tried to
build up everything and make like the person look like a fucking hero or whatever. I just fucking tell jokes. I don't really consider myself a hero, but they like to fucking build you up. When you catch some breaks about this like triumph over.
Gotta have that hero's journey.
Especially when you're like a straight white guy like me that's never really faced adversity in their lives. You need to like dramatize it. I did have horrible, horrible stage fright when I started, but who cares?
Guys, I'm gonna go with meatballs. That's the funniest movie.
Meatballs?
I just let you go into this 5-minute
diatribe. Oh, I forgot about the other question. I thought
it was comedy.
Hungry.
We like to go back into comedy.
Yeah. That's fine.
You took us down that trip. I was fascinated.
I think it's interesting to think about.
Sometimes it's not only is it fascinating, but it also can be terrifying.
Dude,
it's like almost listening to a preacher talking about you know, afterlife and what have you, like, oh no, that's actually going to come. Whether you believe in whatever you believe in, you know,
right?
It's a scary thought. But I'm going to come to the assumption that I am not a simulation.
Okay.
And that I'm not in a game. And there's no.
I also agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I was making mockery of myself. I did a move.
You had an act
somebody,
out.
It's just somebody moved me. Right.
Yeah. You were glitching.
God. I was going to butt in when you guys were talking about the computer. You know, you were talking about the computers, you were operating everything. And I was just going to butt in and say, I've got a Macintosh, if that means anything. I live with that. It was pretty funny stuff when I was working on boys. Just kind of keep things light. Comedy Barbecue as a place.
I like you going back in time and talking about all the funny skits you were doing in your head while we were.
That's simulation, friend. I'm going back and redoing.
Exactly.
It's a turtle thing.
Yeah.
Or as I was going to say, the link of sausage.
Turtles all the way down. Just sausage all the way.
Just from one into another.
It is.
A caterpillar, yeah. Centipede of meat.
It's a sausage eating itself.
Oh, that's it.
That's beautiful.
That would be a new logo.
That should be the logo.
Yeah. That is good. Yeah.
Look at Ramin Nasr on that.
Or why not a pig eating itself? Could be funny.
Just some
too,
sort
like,
of returning.
Chomping on its own
tail.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. That guy's shirt simulation, I would think. I like
it. Love that hoodie.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Okay, last blessing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here. If you could have a Freaky Friday sort of body switch experience with any current musician or musical artist, who would you flip-flop with?
Start with Shane.
I'll start.
Okay, start with you.
I'll start. I would probably...
You already know mine because we've done this.
I would probably go... Because I 90s, I would have to say probably Eddie Vedder. Love Pearl Jam. You could maybe convince me to, if it were just for like a day, like maybe like a really big show. Dave Grohl would be interesting, I think.
When he was in Nirvana or when he was in...
either one. I think... Yeah, Foo Fighters are wonderful. Nirvana's probably one of the most influential bands of all time. Like, they're amazing. But, yeah, I think for me it would be Eddie Vedder. If I could flip-flop. I could get him through the concert quicker because, like, right now he stops between, like, every song and does, like, 20 minutes of just talking. But, yeah, I think I could get through the set list quicker. Who would you flip-flop with, Shane?
Maybe when Eddie Vedder... Or when like Bono is on stage when he goes off on his rants, that's just like a like there's like some John Malkovich trap door and like someone's going in and like making him go on moment. This thing and then they pop out and he's just like, oh fuck, he just
well,
plays
here's fun. Yellow Ledbetter, yeah.
And one, I've been running lots of simulations in my mind since you've asked that question.
Yeah.
And there's
guys, that's
so
a callback.
Problems with it. So this is like for one day, right?
Sure.
Well, for one day to like experience like a lot of the great, like say Dave Grohl's like a really intriguing one for me, right? But that dude's busy as fuck. And I know what it's like to, like...
grind.
Be that busy and have lots of shit going on. And it's just, like, you're taking, like, business calls and shit all day. And, like, most of your day is just trying to free up... trying to find a way to free up, like, an hour or two to play some music. You know? I mean, it's not even... like, I imagine the shows aren't... like you go, like me as a comic, like I enjoy doing shows, but like that's just like I'm on fucking autopilot or tweaking a few things here or there. That like the real, what I appreciate the most is just like the working on the material and the writing, and I would like to experience that and like know how to do it.
That's
and
interesting.
Then,
yeah.
And then. So then part of me is like, well, maybe instead I'd be Roger Waters and I'd somehow incept him into, like, making amends with David Gilmour and getting Pink Floyd back together and like, writing some new fucking tunes, you know, before that genius burns out. biggest geniuses fucking ever in our lives. They're going away soon. Like, will you guys please just, like, put aside your differences and just leave us with a few more great things? And then, so then, like, it gets so complicated that part of me is just like, well, just be like a Justin Bieber or something like that. Just be some dopey fucking moron and just go and have an orgy and do a bunch of drugs. Hopefully you'll OD and die, so I pop into shape.
Yeah, back in.
Beebs is dead. And like, we don't know what got into him.
Yeah. We don't know what Shane Moss got into him. And DMT.
He just did all the fucking drugs.
Whoa.
And drove his Lamborghini off
the
cliff.
Do you know what I just thought of? Yeah. I just thought, Justin Bieber was a pretty well-adjusted kid. Is there a chance that you've already, like, Inception
it might be.
Guys, this could be
it
a simulation.
It might be that I am Justin Bieber.
There's could be a simulation of that simulation.
Quite possible. It's at least as possible. I would say it's more possible that I'm Justin Bieber than it is that we're living in a simulation right now, because it could be that we are all one and we are all God experiencing itself. That's a little more reasonable than a simulation theory.
Or, yeah, right.
So I might very well be Justin Bieber.
The Biebs.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope so.
Who would you?
You guys pick the guys you like.
Right.
You pick bands that you both enjoy and love.
Right.
Those are that's one of your favorites. And then
I picked the Biebs,
Pink
man.
I love Pink Floyd.
I do love Pink Floyd.
There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd say there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, nothing wrong with picking them.
Yeah, sure. If I did,
like,
then
nothing wrong with liking Pink Floyd. I'm like,
No.
I'm
in a simulation right now.
Don't like Pink Floyd, but you can't be like, oh, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, we'll let you have that.
I couldn't be Tom Petty, but I wouldn't want to be Tom Petty for a day.
I would like to meet Tom Petty when he was shooting one of his videos.
Well, he was on DMT, and that's the new music station. Music, it's drug music television, DMT.
DMT 101, 24/7.
We've done this before, so just talking. I would probably be either a Jack Johnson or a. What's the other guitarist?
Jack Johnson?
The actor. He's an actor, too.
Oh, Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews, thank you.
So you just want to kick your crocs off.
I don't want to wear shoes.
You're going to be footloose and fancy free.
You got to understand that,
be careful.
When you pop out of this Freaky Friday, you're not going to be able to stop washing yourself. You're not going to, like, be able to get the Dave Matthews off of you.
Oh,
like I killed Bieber. He's dead.
He's gone.
It's like, now I that's what I get to live with.
Yeah.
It's me saving the world.
A real peace of mind when you come back. Yeah.
No, you were just
sitting at
home and
playing guitar without shoes.
Dave Matthews.
Yeah, you just wanted to be tripping Billy's.
A couple shitty, just feel slightly bloated and just hang out. That's it. Be happy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not asking for anything in life.
Be happy? Yeah, I guess he's happy.
He's got millions of dollars. He wears shorts and sandals everywhere he goes.
I saw a video of him on stage, full band. This is like a Central Park concert, something like that. And, I mean, he's just completely out of his mind high.
You know, see?
And he starts scatting for about 3 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I would. That's when it happened. That's when I did it, boy.
He's the best scatter since Steven Tyler, in my opinion.
Or the scat man himself.
Yeah.
Either or. So, no, that's what I would do. All right, very good. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was.
All right, so, Shane, where can they find you at online?
Shane Moss, MAUSS.com. And you can go. I'm currently on a tour right now with a show about psychedelics called A Good Trip. So hopefully you can see that. And I also also have a podcast called the Here We Are Podcast, where I interview scientists about life and why we behave the way that we do.
Hmm. Was it, is that similar to what we just did here a few minutes ago?
Very similar concept.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. Comedy barbecue's cutting edge, guys.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, we've watched, think about what we're bringing to the people. Brad, we're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
I'm 100% certain.
There's not many podcasts you can hear somebody bite through sausage casing and the singularity.
Yeah.
And the same.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
it's true.
We're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Twitter, Shane Moss.
At Shane Facebook. Comedy, actually.
All right, Shane Comedy. And then
Facebook, Shane Comedy Fan.
Shane Comedy Fan.
Yeah.
You got to have your options there. Then you tried to stand next to that big tall girl over there, didn't you, at the bar? Who's now getting made? He's making out. Making out, guys. Take a look. Oh, he's making out. He was knocking. So you were trying to get another meal. You got it next to that. And then Vladi Divac comes in and taps you on the shoulder and says, "This is my girl."
Yeah.
It was a joy.
I was like, yeah, it is, bud.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
And
I'm not fighting that tower of power. Yeah. All right, well, Brandon, I'm Daryl, and you're Brandon or whatever.
See ya.
On the Comedy Barbecue.